What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful with those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, if you're Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times. This is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Just some housekeeping. Reminder, we are doing the book club for the month of May again. This month's book is Winning by Tim Grover. Tim Grover, the author, is was Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Charles Barkley, Dwayne Wade. He was their performance coach. You know, his first book, Relentless, was really, really good. Pat and I both read that one. And I'm reading, I think you've read Winning before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's reading that one for the second time, first time for me. Really, really good so far. I'm about halfway through it. We'll be recapping that one, I believe, next week for our duet episode. So be on the lookout for that. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused throughout our shows. NeuroGum is a chewing gum that has caffeine, L-theanine, vitamins B6 and B12, helps with memory recall and focus. I like to chew it really anytime. You know, I'll chew it while I'm doing CrossFit, while I'm driving around. Really, if I just need kind of a quick little pick-me-up or if I'm feeling a little off, I chew a piece of NeuroGum. Kind of helps, you know, get the juices flowing again. So I chew it all the time. You know, a lot of times it'll help me from grabbing another energy drink or another cup of coffee in the afternoon. Trying to limit my caffeine consumption a little bit. It kind of helps me do that just because it's only about 40 milligrams per piece. It's about half a cup of coffee. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
Doesn't make you jittery.
Yeah.
You know, just like a nice, level, easy ride into the energy and then a gradual decline to where you're not crashing.
Yeah. So, 100%. It's awesome. I love that stuff.
Yeah. Also, shout out to our guys or people over at Fit Flavors. Until the end of the month, we have our promo code podcast50. We'll get you 50% off a online gift card. I went on, bought $1,000 gift card for $500. Lasted me about 2 months, and that's me eating two to three meals a day from there. It's great, healthy, delicious, and being on the go like we are, easy to pop in the microwave for a minute and 30 seconds, and you're ready to rock and roll with a healthy meal that has the macros perfectly counted out for you for what you need. If you're trying to keep track and eat healthy and stay healthy.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm doing the nutrition challenge for a CrossFit gym right now. And I've been, you know, just doing nothing but crushing Fit Flavors, you know, tracking all my macros. You know, I've been on it for a little over a week now and I'm feeling really good. You know, I've seen some progress, went and got the InBody done the other day. And, you know, goal is to drop 4% body fat by the next 7 weeks. So that's kind of a pretty lofty goal,
but
Bree thinks we can do it. So.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it.
Yeah,
get shredded for summer. Baby's gonna meet me with a six pack.
Yeah,
so.
I just did, went and got my InBody updated yesterday, and down 2% body fat and 15 pounds overall since I started.
Dude.
And yeah, feeling great. I'm just kind of ready to get some of this other health stuff I've got going on, like leveled out and things like that. I mean, testosterone, man, it's crazy. What you know. Having low testosterone can do, like not really knowing that and then finding out about it and then finding out the side effects. It's like, shit, I've been feeling like this even when I was playing. Like, I think back to like some of the things that I had talked about with my trainers in pro ball where it was like, hey, we need to check your thyroid. You know, there's no reason why, you know, with what we have you doing and all this, that you shouldn't be losing weight and body fat faster. And so they thought it was a thyroid problem, but they kept checking it. And obviously in baseball, you know, they're not going to go and check me for testosterone because if I am low and I need to take it, like those are things that I could get popped for.
Right.
So it's like, how long have I been like this to where it's been, you know, according to Brett, he's like, that's dangerously low. How are you functioning type levels of testosterone? And it's just like, fuck, man, it's what I know.
Whenever you do kind of get your levels up to where, you know, you feel like they're in a good spot. I'm curious, you know, just how you're going to feel differently.
Right.
You know?
I'm excited too, just because like you get that, like one of the things they talk about is like having a mental fog and it's, you feel like you're going, like you have ADD where you can't focus or pay attention on tasks at hand. And like, you know, me, my schedule is pretty tight and like, I feel like because of that, like it's kind of like forced myself to kind of push through that. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to just kind of see like how much more productive I can get when I have a clear head, I'm not wearing out throughout the day, and just my energy levels and things like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, that actually kind of segues in nicely. We're going to do a Q&A episode today. We put some question boxes out on our Instagrams, and we got a bunch of good questions here. So, and actually one of the questions we got was in regards to testosterone levels. Let's pull up my questions here from Low T Connor.
Revive.
Just kidding, Connor. From our friend Connor. We were joking the other day. But anyway, he says, what are your testosterone levels and what level is considered victim level? I would say none of us here are an expert in testosterone or, you know, what those levels should be. I mean, but from my understanding, Murph, you probably have more of the understanding than any of us here in this kind of department. But it sounds like optimal levels for men is somewhere like in that like 400 to 700 range, or no, am I off there?
Off.
No, though, that's low.
That's
no.
low. Well, I mean, it's going to depend based on your age group, but people who are about our age, we're all in our early to mid 30s, it's considered to be more on average that we should be closer in the range of like 750 to 1,000. When I got mine checked about 2 years ago, I was about 500, and they were like, hey, 500 is not necessarily low, but it's not where you want to be. And the older you get, the faster your rate of production of the hormone testosterone is going to decrease. So I jumped on 2 years ago. My levels fluctuated around a little bit, but I went from like 500 to like 700 in about, I don't know, 6 months total. Felt totally different. I was also eating to bulk at the same time, so I saw a lot of muscle growth. And I think the last time I got checked, I was at 1,000, and I'm about to get checked again this Monday.
So how often do you get checked? So you go in, go once a weekend for injections, or how do you do it?
So it depends on the clinic you're going to go to. I go to Summit Rejuvenation Center here in St. Louis. They're a great company. Ian Smith, who just won his case and had 80 charges dropped from the state of New Jersey for everything that went down with COVID. Congratulations again. He runs it. He's a great guy. I went there because my chiropractor practices in the same building, and everyone at First Form who was knowledgeable on it said, hey, there's some really good, reputable people there. And basically, I get a month's worth of testosterone in one package deal, and I'm on automatic payments, so I can go in once a week and get the injections done if I want to, or I can just take it home. Personally, I just take it home. It used to kind of like bother me and scare me, like, hey, I'm going to be like injecting myself with syringes, and the syringes can change sizes too, but it's really not that hard, especially when you start getting onto like microdoses. I do 5 microdoses a week. 4 to 5 is typically normal once you've been on for a little while. I usually do about 20 to 25, I think it was, usually whenever I do my injection. It might be a little bit more than that. But regardless, I just shoulder, fat fold, butt cheek, quad. That's typically where it gets stuck. I still do my shoulders. And yeah, every 6 months or so, I go into the clinic, they do my blood work, and they can tell you basically anything that's wrong with you. So I don't typically go to a doctor very often. This is kind of like my checkup once every 6 months.
Yeah, I went into Summit. This is probably probably 3 or 4 years ago. I don't even remember. I went and got my levels checked, and I remember I was low. I was like 350, something Shit. Like that. Yeah,
you probably dude. Felt terrible.
I mean, I don't know what I'm at now. And I went and I just signed, you know, I basically like kind of signed up right then and there. I didn't really talk to Gina about it. And then got home and we started talking about it. And, you know, she was concerned because we were going to start trying to have kids. And I know that there's, you know, some, you can run into complications if you're not taking all the right supplements along with it, with your sperm levels and stuff. So, I think I got like 1 or 2 injections and then I stopped pretty much right away just because we were kind of going back and forth about it. And I just didn't want to mess with, you know, my ability to have kids. So, mm-hmm. So definitely something I would like to go look at now, see where I'm at. Cause I have no idea.
Well, with your schedule and the way that you work, it's very similar to people at First Form. Like both of you, you drink a copious amount of caffeine every day. Your job and your recreational activities are both very physically demanding. As you and Gina have both said, you do everything fucking hard. And then you have the stresses of home life as well. So the thing though that you have going for you though is that they would ask like, hey, what are all the things that you're on top of before you've considered doing this? And you do those things. You know how to de-stress, you know how to work out, you know how to eat properly. You at least can get probably 6 to 7 hours of sleep a night if you have it scheduled correctly and you supplement with all the things outside of it. Mm-hmm. So before, and this is the truth, it's like a lot of people think like testosterone is a steroid. No, it's not a steroid. It's a hormone that your body naturally produces, but the older you get, the frequency and rate with which you produce it does lessen over time. That feeling of masculinity, that feeling of alertness, concentration, focus, the ability to train as hard as you want to, and also love as hard as you want to, or as frequently as you want to. That's all tied to your testosterone. Even women need TRT at times. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, don't ignore the basics or the essentials beforehand.
Yeah, I definitely just need to go and just get my shit checked and just kind of see where I'm at, because I'm curious. You know, I don't know if I, you know, because, you know, what I've also heard is that you could go in, you know, 3 different days and get 3 different levels, right?
I mean, I went, I'm going through my primary care, and that's the thing. He's like, I want to test you twice before we know for sure. And the first time I went in, I was below 200. And then the second time, and now that was, and we tested, like, I was, for whatever reason, it was later in the day. I think that was like the only time I could get in, but it was at like 11 o'clock in the morning, which they say your testosterone is the highest in the morning. So, you know, not terribly late, but still, and I was below 200, went back and scheduled the test for, I think it was like a month and a half later, and went in at 8 a.m. and I was at like 230. So yeah, depending on the time of the day, when you go, things like that can affect your levels. And yeah, so don't worry, Connor, I got you beat,
buddy. Yeah. Low T Connor.
Yeah. So low TP over here.
Yeah. So yeah, we're you know, none of us is medical. This is not medical advice. We're not doctors. So
consult a professional.
Yeah. Consult a professional.
Yes. Talk to your doctors.
You know, it's all the bro science over here. So, yeah. All right. Next question. Ooh. It's from our former, or a guest of ours. You know, this episode hasn't released yet, but when he was on, man, we were talking about it in the locker room last night at Jiu-Jitsu, how much fun we had on Pat's episode. So I'm excited. Pat Willing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, dude, he's like, you guys got any good crackhead stories? Because he told a couple when he was here. I got one. I got a cut. I mean, I was trying to think of this because I was like, ooh, man, this would be a funny. The only one that like comes to my head right away is, man. So there was this guy. We were in high school, you know, you're in high school, you always, you know, we've all got our different ways that we did to get beer and, you know, get alcohol back in high school. But for a lot of us that went to St. Mary's, we all used this guy. His name was Tall T. Because okay. He wore tall tees.
Tall tees.
So this guy, he was, I mean, dude, it wasn't just me. It was a bunch of us guys from St. Mary's that would all call this guy, and you picked him up. You know, he picked him up and you could barely understand what he's saying. He was so like drunk or fucked up on shit. So I don't know if he's a crackhead or what, but he definitely, let's just say he wasn't a winner. He wasn't practicing a lot of the stuff that we preach on this show.
Right.
You'd pick him up and, you know, you'd give him, you know, basically you'd give him like $5 extra for whatever it would cost. And he'd go into the gas station or whatever and pick you up a 30 pack. He'd always buy himself like a tall boy or something with it. Mm. Yeah, and he he started like hanging out with like us. Well, you know, like it was, you know, at first it started out like you picked him up, you know, like, hey man, thanks, you know, drop him back off at his like a little apartment there at like Kings Highway in Chippewa. And eventually, you know, I remember going to like some like high school parties and I'm like, oh fuck, Tall T's here. You know, like, what is this guy doing? We're like hanging out with all these 16-year-old kids, like thinking about it, looking back on it now, like how fucking creepy that is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I don't really have a specific story, but it's just, this guy was the odd duck that was,
I got a story.
Yeah. Let's hear it. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I bet you do.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
I know this one. Yeah.
All right. So 'twas the year 2014. And it was the end of my first year going to Springfield. And I was young and hustling at this point. Like, I was really out there. Like, I was a hoodlum. Like, this was like baby hoodlum me. This is before I knew how bad I could get. Mm. And so, I was still kind of on my shit because I was like, hey, I'm going to have a job still because I don't want to, like, ever have to deal with the IRS. Like, I'm a college kid. I want to have as much fun as possible. So I worked at Chipotle. And I had two roommates. And my roommates were going to...
Did you work at the one right there by the baseball field?
No, not National. I worked at South Campbell.
Okay.
Yeah. South Campbell was like an hour and a half walk from where I lived. And I would often walk there so I didn't have to bother anyone for a ride. But on the nights back, I would get a ride back. And so my roommates and I were not the most responsible bunch. We only lived in this little house on State Street for about 6, maybe 8 months. And if you're from Springfield, State Street is not a good spot. State Street is bad. Like, very, very sincerely, we believed that the Boogans across the street in that big greenhouse were definitely cooking and boosting meth out that motherfucker.
Yeah, and Boogan, for those of you, it was what we just, I don't know, is that a Springfield term?
Almost town folk for yeah. Springfield. Yeah.
For Springfield.
That's the best place I've ever heard of it.
Great. Yeah, it's the only place I've ever heard that term, but I love it.
Yeah.
And I still refer to, you know, homeless people as Boogans.
That was, and being in Springfield was like the first time I was really exposed to people who like needed to rifle through people's trash. So, you know, like, you know what you're getting into. So my roommates took the only key we had to the house that weekend. Why they did, I'm not sure, considering I was still staying there. So again, I was young, stupid, and fucked up. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to turn all the lights off in the house. When I get home tonight, if the lights are on, I'll know someone was here. Mm-hmm. So I get dropped off from my job probably about 11 o'clock at night. I remember the guy's name was Joe. He was a Kappa Sig at one point. He had graduated a few years earlier. He was working Chipotle. So I pull up to my house and all the lights are on. I'm like, hey, man. So, you know, my roommates are out of town. I left the lights off and their car's not here and all the lights are on. He goes, what does that mean? Someone's been in my house. He goes, oh, see ya.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fuck you. Thanks, dude. Thanks for the ride, but I'm going to go get killed now probably. So I walked in through the back door. The front door was locked. I left the back door unlocked. And so I get into the house, and immediately I smell two things. I smell burnt food and spray paint. Lights are on, and I go over to the stove. There's some tater tots there. I had these tater tots that I bought from the PSU sitting in the fridge for like a year, and they were frostbitten, just gross. Someone had fucking burned them and put like a Kraft Singles cheese on them. Mm. And so I'm like, okay, what the fuck is going on? Because I don't hear music. I don't smell weed. There's no party. And so we had a half bath in our kitchen, which I'm standing in. And I look in there, and there's this fucking demonic-looking tiki head that has been spray-painted onto our power circuit box. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And from this same bathroom comes this dude, probably about like 5 foot, like 11, maybe 6 foot. He was a tall, lanky son bitch. Eyes were sunken in, super red, scraggly beard, covered like neck to toe in just prison tattoos. And you look at this guy and he was on something. Like, I don't know if it was meth. I don't know if it was crack. I don't know if fentanyl was a thing back then. And I was just like, immediately, what the fuck is going on? And so the dude, like, I expected something belligerent to happen, but he just goes, looks at me and just like, sup, man? I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
What the fuck you doing in my house?
Yeah, he goes, oh, you know, fucking, I live here. I'm like, the fuck? He goes, yeah, I gave the landlords $400. I'm like, bro, no, the fuck you did not. You are sorely mistaken. And like the guy, I was scared for a minute, but then he tried to like reason with me. So I'm like, maybe this isn't going to end that bad. Mm. He goes, nah, man, no, seriously. I talked to the people who own this place. I gave him $400. God is my witness. I'm like, look, dude, you have like the next 10 seconds to get out of my sight. Or otherwise, something's going to happen. I'm calling the cops or something's happening. And he just threw his hands. He's like, all right, man. All right. He just walked out the back door.
What?
And like, I'm like, so did he steal something? I'm going through the house. And like, he rifled through our shit, but he didn't take anything.
But why did he spray paint a tiki on your
bro,
on
he was
wall?
In our half bath. Fucking circuit box.
So your electric panel was in the half bath. And yes. He just spray painted that fucking.
Yes. Thing. And so he didn't steal anything. And bro, we had fucking like a 50-inch TV. We had PS4. We had Xbox.
Sure, there's drugs and drug paraphernalia.
There was, dude, I had a half ounce of weed on the fucking table.
Yeah.
I remember this because like he didn't touch any of it.
Laptops, gaming consoles.
He left a bag of his shit though. They found heroin in the bag and a picture of his fucking wife and kid.
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I didn't stay another night in that house after that.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, dude.
That's my crackhead story.
Wow. Any crackhead stories?
Yeah. But before, like, just where my head went there for a second was like, what kind of code violations is there going to be for having a circuit box in the bathroom of a half bath?
Bro, yeah. It was State Street. They didn't
didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
My crackhead stories all come from Bakersfield, California. So this is where...
Paint the picture. Paint the picture, Pat.
Bakersfield is not like a very pretty part of California.
No, it's called the armpit of California.
It's trashy.
It's literally like when you look at the state and it comes down and it angles in, like it's right there. It's
shout out to Social Distortion, though. They're from there.
And so like in Bakersfield, split in half. Like, the west side of Bakersfield is really nice. There's country clubs, really nice homes, all that. The east side is called Oildale, and that's where we stayed. It was almost like split in half by the airport and the highway. And we stayed in Oildale, which was where the field was. We lived a couple blocks from there. But for those people that are familiar with Josh Hamilton's story, they used to play, it was with the Red first round draft pick, this out of high school. His book's out, open with, struggles with drugs and all, but this is where he became addicted to meth. And like our field behind there was a riverbed that was all dried up because it's so dry. I think it rained once in the two summers or the summer and a half, or the summer and then the half of the next summer that I was there. And, but that's where all the homeless people and like, that's where we would see people that were, all methed out or coked or drugged up. But we would show up to the field because I think our field wasn't really, it wasn't a great field and it was open. People could just walk right into the field and we would show up and there'd be fucking homeless, drugged up people sleeping in our dugout. And then the funniest story is we were taking batting practice and one of these people walked up from the riverbed and just kind of walked onto the field while we were taking BP. Just disheveled, just a mess, and walked all the way up to the hitter's eye and was having a conversation with our coaches trying to give hitting advice to the people taking batting practice. And we're just like, what the fuck is going on here? Until finally somebody from security came and got him and escorted him out of there. But like, even like driving, like it was a straight, like 2 mile drive from our field to the apartment complex that we stayed in. And like, once the sun went down, it was like the Walking Dead. These people were just like walking and zigzagging all over the road. And you're like having to like weave to miss these people. Like it was bad. And then, there's a story from some of the older guys that were there about like where our apartment was across the street was like the main meth distributor, which like, so you got our apartment complex that takes up like 2 blocks. It's a big apartment complex. And then directly across the street that runs behind it is an elementary school. And then right next to the elementary school was this house where they were talking about how the SWAT swarmed it and all this stuff. And yeah, it was just crazy. And this guy apparently was like the main meth distributor for California, but lived directly across the street from our apartment complex. So like, that's the kind of shit that we were dealing with in minor league baseball. Now the teams have to pay for, all this housing and stuff like that for these nice places for these kids to live in. But that wasn't the case. And it was funny because like they had a minor league hockey team there. So like their season was ending when our season was beginning. So they would literally like this apartment complex didn't do shit. Like they literally just like, all right, yeah, they just wrote continue rotation. So like hockey players would leave the next week. We're moving in. Our season would end. Their season would begin. So we'd be leaving. And then a week after that, they're moving in. It was just this continued cycle. And it wasn't like a terrible complex, but these rooms were trashed.
Yeah.
It was interesting. There was a lot of it down there. And you didn't go a day in Bakersfield without seeing somebody that was all drugged up on something, usually meth. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
That's
my crackhead story for you.
Oh, I like this next one. Remington asked us, what is the most impressive physical feat you could do right now in this moment? Oh man, I'm pretty confident I could go. It would not be an impressive time by any means, but I'm confident the fact that right now I could probably just go. I think I could go run a marathon, and I don't think I would do very well, but I think I could finish a marathon right now. I mean, not it would not be an impressive time by any means. I don't know if this is kind of the question here, like kind of the thing he was looking for, but. I mean, I would say that's probably it. I don't know. Like, I mean, if we're talking about things that I'm like already, that I'm already trained and decent at, I mean, you know, on a weekend, we roll, you know, every Saturday, we roll like anywhere from like 50 minutes to an hour worth of rounds. I would say that's pretty impressive. I don't think most people could do that. I mean, unless you're, you know, train, I mean, most people, I mean, maybe people that are consistently training jiu-jitsu could do that. But like, I would say that's a pretty impressive thing that I do pretty regularly. But I mean, I don't know if that would, that's kind of what he's looking for. But what about you?
I mean, I can still play hockey, still do that pretty competitively. Because I do it regularly, I'm not going to talk about, say that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't like, that's why I feel like weird saying that.
I mean, like, I just started jiu-jitsu, so I, yeah. There's that. Things that people, like, I bet I could step on the mound, and because Major League Baseball players make it look it's so difficult to throw strikes right now with the amount of people that are walking, like, just unbelievable amount of balls that are thrown. I feel like I could probably still step up on the mound and throw, and give me 10 pitches. I bet I could still throw 8 out of 10 pitches as strikes. I mean, I know that doesn't sound like it's not. I mean, I can go up there and give it my all that I have. I might come out being 80 miles an hour, but right. I feel like I could still throw.
If I could throw at 65,
I think I could probably still step on the mound after having not been on a mound in over 2 years. I could probably step on the mound and throw 8 out of 10 pitches for a strike.
It's definitely so. More, most people cannot do that.
Yeah. So that's probably the one thing that, yeah, it baffles my mind how many balls are thrown in a Major League Baseball game. I get it. Their strike zone's tough and you've got the automated zone now, but still, like, fuck, these guys are throwing 100 miles an hour. Just throw it right down the fucking middle.
Mm-hmm. I can average 30,000 steps a day on 10 hours of sleep over 3 days in the desert of Las Vegas.
There you go.
That's pretty impressive. That's
pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm still feeling it.
Yeah. I can complete my day with a testosterone level of 200.
Yeah, without, there you go.
Without falling asleep.
All right. This is a good question. When did you realize that you found your niche in real estate?
When I hired you.
I would say, really, when I just started believing in myself, I guess. And I mean, you know, kind of when you first get started, it's a lot of kind of like faking it till you make it, you know, because you haven't done any deals yet. You haven't, you know, you're just kind of saying, repeating things that you've heard people say, you know, until you actually like get out there and start doing it. But, you know, I mean, I would say my niche or my niche, is it niche or niche?
Niche.
Tomato.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would say my niche is just, I mean, people, it's a lot of people that I work with or that I know, you know, it's my sphere of influence, all the, you know, the people that I know, a lot of people from my gym, or, you know, the gyms that I go to, whether it's CrossFit or Jiu-Jitsu, you know, I mean, that's kind of been my niche, really. I do help a lot of investors, you know, because I'm an investor myself, so I, you know, I definitely enjoy that because I feel like I can see it from different angles and see how different people do it. And I guess I would say I found it. Now, really about 2 or 3 years ago, because that first year, 2 years that you're in it, you're really just kind of just figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily have a niche just because there's so many, like, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into being like, oh, I can only do these loans because there's so many different programs out there. But like one of the first loans that I was taught and told to learn was the VA home loan. That worked with a lot of veterans, but that was like the first thing I learned when I got in the business. But be a good loan officer and you got to be able to do everything, you know, like, so, and like on the flip side of that is just like, you know, I wouldn't say like, what was the question again? Like what?
Finding your niche.
When did you realize that you had found your niche?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's like for me, like I don't know. I feel like do you really ever want to have just a niche? Like, do you ever really, like, I feel like it's something that could constantly change. So, like, you know, I've got some people that send me a lot of deals that are people that can't get approved, and we've got to figure out a way to make it work.
Well, that's one thing I think you're really good at is, I mean, you always seem to find a way to make things work. You know, I mean, for example, we got that deal going on right now that you're jumping in and saving. You know, like, I think they had talked to two other lenders, you know, before they were like, I don't think this was going to work out. And I was like, before we give up on this, let's see if Pat can save it. Sure enough, you know, you jump in and, you know, like Superman, dun-da-da, save the day.
I mean, it's just, it's knowing, that's the thing is like, you know, I was in, I had about a 6 month grace period because from the time that I took my licensing exam and passed to the time I actually had my license, because I took it at the end of the year when everybody's renewing their licenses. So it already takes a couple months to when you pass your exams and the background checks and everything, it already takes a good amount of time for to actually get your license to start selling. Well, you throw in the fact that I did it at the end of the year when you've got hundreds of thousands of people that are licensed loan officers renewing their license. So that already kicked me till, you know, January before they even started the process of my background checks and everything like that before I could get my license. Like I didn't even have my, like I passed my exam. Like I started at Cornerstone in October of 14. I took the entire month to study, took the exam the beginning of November, passed the first time. And then I didn't even have my license until April, which at that time I was in limbo. So like I was trying to decide on base, like if I was going to continue to play. So in 15, I still went to spring training. And so, but in that interim, you know, between, you know, like training for baseball, like I couldn't sell, I couldn't do anything. So my business partner now and mentor, and then, you know, my mom, they're like, here, this was back when, before everything was digital, we actually had physical guidebooks for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, USDA, VA. And they're like, read these. So like I read them cover to cover, front to back, studied them, highlighted them, took notes. And so I learned these programs. So I knew what we could and couldn't do and what, like before I could even originate. And that was probably one of the greatest things that, again, people just aren't patient enough or want to put the work in to understand that. But then the guides are constantly changing. And so, you know, and then just having those resources and constantly asking questions. So like, I'm constantly talking to the head of our underwriting department. Her and I used to butt heads and used to not like each other. But now her and I have an unbelievable relationship. I mean, I feel like my week's not complete if I don't have at least one conversation with her. Tracy, you're the best. I love you. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if I don't talk to her at least once a week, I feel like I'm, you know, asking her questions or helping me figure out a solution. I mean, it does help having that. But like, because of the conversations I've had with her, knowing the guidelines, constantly being a student, and wanting to learn more because it's constantly changing allows me to do things that others don't, because they're looking for all they want to do is easy deals. Anybody can do a fucking easy deal. It's the loan officers that can do the hard deals and make them easy. That's what makes you a good loan officer. And that's what I want to be. And that's the thing is people call me and they're like, how do we figure this out? And we figure out a way to structure it in a way that it makes it work. And I can't take all of the credit. I mean, I sat on the phone with the head of our underwriting department and we went back and forth, you know, for about an hour. And, you know, I talked to like how I was thinking through it and wanting to go through this file. And, you know, she would pull like, hey, well, yeah, that in theory that would make sense. But according to the guides, we wouldn't be able to do this. Like, here's some things that we can take a look at in the guides that, you know, are left up to the interpretation of whoever's reading it. And if you are willing to explain that and take that your interpretation and explain it to the underwriter and they're willing to understand that and go with it, then we can make this work. And so that's what we did. And we figured it out and we figured out a way that, you know, with, you know, conventional loans, we knew right off the bat, as soon as I knew the situation, I knew that, you know, we could flip it to conventional and it would probably be get it through. But the problem is obviously, and these borrowers are more FHA buyers, you know, based on, you know, credit scores and things like that. Like FHA would be a better option, but it didn't fit. Like they didn't fit for FHA guidelines, but they did fit for conventional. And if we structured it in the right way, it could go through and get approved. And that's what we had to tinker with and figure out. And we ended up figuring it out. And yeah, it's just people don't want to take that time. They just want it in and out quick. And that's not my process. That's not how I do things. I like to slow this down. It's a big decision.
Yeah.
And people that want to rush this and want quick pre-approvals, like I'm not going to be your person. I can do them. And if it's like a round peg, round hole, obviously that's an easy, quick turnaround. But most of the time, every file that comes through has some sort of quirk to it that takes a little bit of time. At least the ones that I'm getting, I guess maybe that's why they get sent to me, is because they have these quirks and they know that I'll be able to figure it out. But, you know, if you guys want to throw me an easy one here and there, I'd like that too. But I don't mind. Like I said, I just, you know, if my niche is, or niche or whatever you want to say it is like doing the hard deals. Fuck yeah. I mean, that's my niche because no one else can do it and I can. And it just, you know, that's what shows a good loan officer versus a not good loan officer.
Yeah.
You know? So
makes sense. All right, go on to our next one. This one's from my buddy Brian Crispin. Thank you, Crispy, for writing us a couple questions here, actually. What is on your vision board? Ooh, man, I haven't updated mine in a couple years, and I need to. I used to, ever since we moved here, it's like downstairs, I think. One thing that's going to be that I really want, I've been thinking about a lot. And this has kind of been something I've wanted for a long time, but our next house. I really want a detached, like outbuilding, mm-hmm. you know, probably like a 4-car garage. It would be like ideal, like the size that I have in my head. I want that to be, you know, obviously, you know, I kind of have a vision for the house and kind of what I want. I really would like to be in like Sunset Hills. That's kind of the area Gina and I have always really wanted to be. You know, it's literally about 10 minutes away from here. But, you know, we're really close to it right now, but it's, you know, different school districts, just a little bit more, a little nicer area. I just have really always loved it over there. My grandma lives over there and I've just always loved it. So, you know, goal is, you know, buy a house in Sunset Hills. Ideally, you know, if it doesn't have a, you know, this detached garage that I want, you know, I need to have the ability or, you know, with the land to be able to build it. But in that garage, I want to be able to like, okay, make a room in there that we can do this in, make a podcast studio. I want it to be a gym, you know, like a legit, you know, like kind of where I can do kind of CrossFit style workouts. So I don't have, you know, good set of weights and all the Olympic bumper plates and all the kettlebells and all the other things I want, all the cardio machines. I'll obviously want to have a corner matted out for jiu-jitsu. And then also just a, and so I want this kind of building to be just kind of my area of the house, I guess, you know, where I can kind of deck it out and all the stuff that I want to do, just kind of make my own like little sanctuary in that little garage that I, cause you know, obviously like, we don't really decorate our walls with like the stuff that I would like. Like, I mean, this is kind of it, I guess. I mean, I just kind of want a room that I can kind of turn into what I want.
Yeah.
You know, so ideally I would like that. I would love, you know, I've always wanted a place like down south, like a vacation house in like Florida or probably Florida, you know, that I would probably rent out whenever I'm not there, you know, like Airbnb or whatever. So, I mean, that's definitely something that I want. And I've always said I would also like a place like in the mountains as well, because I do love to go snowboarding. I don't do it as often as I would like, but I would love to be able to have a place out there that, you know, I it's a place that I rent out whenever I'm not there, but, you know, I can go there 2-3 times a year and go on a snowboarding trip with some buddies. You know, a large rental portfolio. I'm really just trying to continue to grow that. I used to be really like focused on like doors and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm not 100% sure what that looks like right now, just because I feel like my mind's always changing on what I want as far as like the portfolio and that, because I'm like, do I want 500 doors or whatever to, you know, it's like, is it just that number that I'm chasing, or is it like, I really want to like the properties that I own. I don't want them to be headaches, you know. I really don't want to, you know, buy like a shitty apartment complex in a rough area that's a big pain in my ass. Like, it's like, I really would love to, you know, own buildings that I'm super proud of. So just a large rental portfolio would be another thing on there. You know, happy, healthy family. You know, as far as like cars and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I've always said like, I would love what is it? 1969 Chevelle. I think that's the one. I think that's the year, as it might be the 67. I can't remember. But there's a year of the Chevelle I really like. Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's about it. I don't even think of black belt in jiu-jitsu. You know, I, well, I I think I've talked about it on here before, but eventually I would love to open up a jiu-jitsu school with Nick. We've talked about, been talking about doing that for, you know, really for the last couple of years. We've said, like, you know, years down the road when we get our black belts, like, maybe that's something we do together, you know, just another kind of business venture. And so that's something that, you know, I think I would like to do eventually. Yeah. That's about it. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, and this thing's been updated every year based on just where I'm at in my life. But the main ones that have stayed has just been, you know, a nice home. You know, I'm a big fan of ranches. So, like, having a ranch, like a nice ranch-style home, but also, like, land and property, you know, similar to yours where, like, I wouldn't mind moving out a little bit, you know. And just like I said, most of the stuff I can do from my house. So, you know, I want acreage with a nice size ranch, you know, enough to fit the kids and have them live comfortably. But also, like you mentioned, I would like to have a big pool barn, kind of, you know, with an indoor basketball court, some batting cages, pitching mound, turfed area. You know, now with jiu-jitsu coming in, I gotta go on update, and I'll probably throw some, you know, like you mentioned, a corner with mats and everything for training. You know, and then on the back end of it, you know, golf simulator. I love to play golf. That would be fun. You know, the golf simulator's always been on the vision board. You know, my own personal workout room and facility within that. And then, you know, a pool, like a nice pool. Like I've always had this idea of like, oh God, I would love to have a big enough pool to where I could put like an island in the middle where you could just go and like hang out in on the island, but you still have the pool around. Like I always thought that was really cool. Sick. And then, you know, just different places I'd like to travel to, you know, like, you know, Santorini and the Maldives and things like that, just exploring the world. So like there's different places like that I have on there. You know, I'm fortunate that my parents have a very beautiful house down in Florida that I get to frequent. So that's nice. You know, I've got on there like, what's the name of the company where you can have, like, you get to that point if you're flying so much that you can buy like a membership into it and you get like private, not JetBlue or. So yeah, I'm fortunate enough that my parents have a pretty cool place down in Florida. But you know, traveling has always been a thing, and I know that you can buy memberships into places where you can make it easier for traveling and stuff like that. So like that's on there. You know, baseball's always, you know, has been a part of me, and like I have on there like having a facility, because in my mind, like, I want to be able to, you know, develop a program and an organization that's geared towards the development of kids and making them better baseball players. So that's on there. I've got pictures of my kids on there. Like each year, I just add a picture of them as they get older. And then just like things that I want for them, like getting them, you know, just to have like words like success and mental toughness and resilient and determination and no quit. Like those are all things that I put on there. As for cars, like, I mean, I'm not a big car guy. You know, when they released the Ford Bronco a couple years ago, like I had a picture of that on there, which, you know, wound up becoming a Defender, which now I fucking hate. And I can't wait to get rid of it. And who knows, maybe I'll trade it in for Bronco. I don't know. But like, all time, like, my dad has always been a GTO fan, and I can't get that 67 GTO out of my head from Fast and the Furious. So I was like, yeah, I want that fucking car,
dude.
Or like to be able to like buy something like that for my parent, like my dad, because I know that he loves that. Traveling with my parents, going to Ireland, like my dad talked about that, like that's on there. Yeah, I mean, it's more things that I'd like to, like places I'd like to travel and go to, and more like words of affirmation are on there. But yeah, I mean, it's a whole hodgepodge of things, but yeah, I mean, it's success is another word that's on there, and no matter like what I'm doing, I want to be successful at. So yeah, I mean, I think I've got some like percentage rates on there just for like mortgage stuff, like, yeah, you know, and things like that, like mortgage, you know, having success with mortgage and like building a team and you know, 100 million. Like, that's always been a, you know, goal to get to that point where I can build a team that's producing 100 million in business. You know, my business partner did it. Him and I did it a couple of years ago, and I know that he doesn't have, you know, he's not going to be around doing this forever. So, like, take over and get us back to that 100 million, you know, in production. You know, that's on there. So yeah, I mean, that's about it on mine.
Solid. Let's do, you think one more?
Yeah. Ooh.
All right. Ooh. This is from our friends at Fit Flavors. This should be a pretty easy one for us. What's your favorite Fit Flavors meal?
Oh man. I mean, it's always on there and I'm always eating it. Probably the cheeseburger bowl. It's really freaking good, but like,
as my buddy that says that works there, he goes, you know, that one, as we say, that one keeps the lights on. It's like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But right now they did like this new menu. They brought out the sweet and tangy chicken.
Oh dude,
that one,
I ripped that one. Yeah, I just ate that.
Yeah.
Before
I get
the show.
That one all the time. Same thing with the pepper jack turkey burger and mac and cheese. Those are like my staples. Mm. Like if I go and I'm getting meals and I only, you know, I usually try and keep it simple and consistent because it's easy to track macros and day in and day out. So I know that I'm hitting what I need to hit. Those are my three. I might, instead of the sweet and tangy chicken, I might add the breaded chicken and au gratin potatoes.
That's good.
But yeah, those are but my hands down, probably the cheeseburger bowl.
Yeah, dude, that one's, I mean, you can't go wrong with that one. I mean, it's really, really good. I love the cheeseburger bowl. You mentioned it, the sweet and tangy chicken. That's like been one of my favorites. And actually last night, man, I made the, what's it, the smothered Philly burger.
Oh, yeah.
That one's really good. But I was, you know, tracking my macros. I was a little low on proteins and fat. So I added two over easy eggs to that. Okay. I made two over easy eggs.
So I've done that with the cheeseburger bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And so
good.
And then I was like, an idea I had before this last menu came out, the latest menu, they got rid of the chili. Mm-hmm. Obviously the chili is more of a fall thing, which is fine. So I'm like, when that chili comes back, I'm going to take that fucking chili. I'm going to mix it with a cheeseburger bowl. I'm excited.
Like a slinger.
Yeah. I'm excited for that to come back. I'm like, damn, that's a healthy slinger right there.
Yeah.
Like, if I need, you know, if I'm running behind on meals and I need to catch up and mix those two together. Cause usually the chili's good. I like their chili and I would mix that in as like a snack.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of now having a snack, I'm just going to throw the two things together and call it a day.
That's money. Oh, another honorable mention I have to say is the chimichurri steak and mashed potatoes. I like that one a lot too.
Yeah. See, I'm particular about my steaks. Like I throw it in the microwave. Yeah.
I mean, it's not as,
no, I just haven't. There's a few that I haven't gotten.
I love those mashed potatoes, though.
Their mashed potatoes are good. Yeah, that's a cool thing, too, is they do the bulk stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can kind of create your own thing based on, like, they've got the russet potatoes. Mm-hmm. They've got the mashed potatoes. And they sell the turkey burgers, the different types of chicken that they have, broccoli. You know, you can make your own nice little meal out of the stuff that they have in bulk, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's awesome. I love
Fit Flavors. You guys are awesome.
You guys are the best. Yeah. So.
Podcast 50
to the end of May.
While it lasts, we got a few more days left.
Yep.
Yeah, you got like 9 days.
Yeah.
So.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's a good spot to cut it off. And we will make sure you subscribe if you're not already, and hit that like button. Comment what you thought below. And please, whenever you see us doing these question boxes, make sure to, you know, write us a question. Right, write us a couple questions. Yeah. I mean, because we really like doing these Q&A episodes. So
yeah, we like interacting with you guys. So if you guys please drop comments, you know, interact with us on our posts and things like that, because we like interacting with people. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we do that for a living, and so it's always cool to get people's feedback and what they think and where they're at, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we will see you next time.